gathering intelligence can take you to the far ends of the earth, remote villages in Russia, for example. But getting intel can also be as easy as going online and doing a few searches. The investigative news websites Bellingcat and The Insider did both, and in the process managed to reveal the likely identity of one person allegedly involved in the poisoning of a former Russian military intelligence officer and his daughter in the UK. The suspect's name is Dr. Alexander Mishkin. According to the investigation, he's a trained military doctor who worked for the GRU, Russian Army Intelligence. Eric Toler is one of the Bellingcat reporters who worked on this case. You went through a pretty lengthy process to identify Alexander Mishkin. What clues did you actually have to work with?
Well, we had a little bit to start with just from the information that Russia had released and also the British authorities had released about the cover identities of this guy. So we now know his real name is Alexander Mishkin, but before he was Mishkin, he was known as Alexander Petrov, which was his cover identity. This is, you know, a totally fake identity they made up out of nowhere for him to travel under. And so we had some information about that cover identity, including his birthday, where he had the passport issued to, which is this very small town in the middle of nowhere in northern Russia. So that was a good starting point.
So talk a bit more about that process, how you've got that starting point. Where do you go from there?
So we have the starting point of we can assume that he probably used some of the same information in his cover identity from his real identity. So we looked into a bunch of databases. Some of them are openly available. Some of them are leaked. Russia is a very corrupt and leaky society. And because of that, there's leaked databases from driver's licenses and insurance stuff and voter registration and addresses and stuff all over the internet you can find if you just know where to look. And so we cross-referenced everything we could find. And we found a match about a guy named Alexander Mishkin who had the same birth date and was from roughly the same village in the middle of nowhere in northern Russia. And after a bunch of digging, including actually sending someone to go to his tiny little village where he's from and finding locals who knew him, apparently he was a local DJ before he went to medical school. Yeah, he DJed at the local club, the one club I'm sure they had in a tiny village. So we went for these hunches in these databases, cross-referencing the tiny bit of information we think would probably match the true identity of Mishkin.
I got to say, some of the steps in your process, you and your investigators really seem to have to put yourselves in the mindset of a spy.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, a lot of this is just a lot of very creative thinking, of any vulnerabilities of what would leave a paper trail from a spy in Russia, right? So, you know, maybe not, you can't find his birth certificate, right? Because maybe that's all been forged and is hidden away forever. But again, these spies have real lives too. They have a family, they have kids. So you can find information that would track back to them. So, yes, maybe some of this is kind of spy work, but a lot of very, very basic routine research on the stuff you learn in, you know, high school or college of, you know, searching, looking for interesting details and cross-referencing them and see what matches up.
Now that you've got a name, what else were you able to find out about Dr. Alexander Mishkin? Like, do you have evidence that he was working on behalf of the Kremlin?
Yeah, I mean, this guy listed his registered addresses as the headquarters of the GRU, which when at first glance seems absolutely insane. Like, why would a secret spy list his public address, like on his driver's license, the address of the, you know, CIA, the equivalent of the CIA? Well, he did it because, you know, if he gets pulled over in his car, the cop pulls up his address and he sees the address of the, you know, the Russian CIA, more or less. And he's like, oh, actually, you know, everything's in the up and up. You can just go, you know, you're fine. So we ran the address in a traffic database. We found there's 305 men all between the ages of 25 and 50 who all had the same registered address. So it just says one address in Moscow. So all of these men almost certainly are officers of the GRU. And they all listed their vehicle registration as this address because they just don't want to pay traffic fines when they get pulled over. Or they get pulled over for drunk driving or speeding. The cop just lets them go, right? Because they don't want to mess with somebody in the intelligence services. So really, everything just goes down to laziness and, I guess, corruption in a way, too. And that's how a lot of the vulnerabilities of how we were able to research this played out.
So the headline in The Guardian on this news intrigued me. It said, "A string of own goals by Russian spies exposes a strange sloppiness." So what is your take on the possibility that this was not sloppiness, but intentional, that Russia wanted to leak who these men were?
I mean, I suppose that's always possible, right? Because, you know, every time any investigation turns up information on Russia, people always chime in saying, well, they wanted you to find it, right? Well, if they want us to find it, why has no one published this stuff before? Because, this, you know, these insurance registrations for these vehicles at the GRU headquarters, you know, they've been doing this for years and years and years and years and registering new agents to these address, same like GRU addresses. Again, it makes no sense when you think about it, but it all kind of boils down to, again, just corruption and laziness.
A few weeks ago, your website, Bellingcat, identified a second person allegedly involved with the Skripal poisoning. Have authorities in the UK or anywhere else been in touch with you about your findings?
Not really at all. I mean, I don't really have any, and I don't think Elliot, our founder, has any contacts with UK police either. So we don't know what they're thinking. For all we know, they discovered this all weeks and weeks ago. Or maybe it's just all completely news to them. We honestly have no idea.
You know, just listening to what you said about all the available data that is online, is it impossible to be a spy in the digital age?
It depends. I'm not a spy. I have no idea. I've never worked in intelligence services, but I'm sure you can do it in some ways. But it's much, much harder than it's ever been before.
That was Arik Toller with the news site Bellingcat. Together with their partners at The Insider, they say they've uncovered the identities of two Russian intelligence officers suspected of poisoning former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in the UK back in March.